Paul begins his first letter to the believers in Thessalonica with a greeting, followed by his thanking God for them. He remembers their response to the gospel message and mentions his remembrance of their election by God, their joyous reception of the gospel, and their resultant testimony because of their changed lives. He recalls his ministry in Thessalonica and the fact that his message was received by the Thessalonian believers as the word of God. His desired return to Thessalonica had been hindered by Satan. Paul mentions his godly concern for the Thessalonian believers and his delight over Timothy's good report that they were doing well spiritually. Paul then draws this section to a close with his prayer for the Thessalonian believers. Now, you'll remember that Paul was with Silas and Timothy in Philippi, and they left Philippi after they had been one night in jail there and had suffered a beating from the local officials. And they went down the Ignatian Road and came eventually to Thessalonica, where they had a good but fairly brief ministry for, we don't know. We know that he spent 3 weeks or 3 Sabbath days dealing with the Jewish people in the synagogue, and then there was a reaction against him by the unsaved Jews, and he went somewhere else and he taught the Gentiles and the saved Jews. How long that continued is not clear, but pretty soon a mob came along and was seeking to put him under the ground, kill him. And he fled by night to Berea. And then a little later, he was chased by the same kind of people from Thessalonica who had come 40-some miles to Berea and chased out of Berea and went to Athens. From Athens, he would go to Corinth. He's in Corinth when he's writing 1 Thessalonians. We see in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul's godly concern for the Thessalonian believers. Remember, he didn't have an opportunity to say goodbye to all these people and see how they were doing. He had to leave town very hurriedly for his own safety's sake. In verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3, Paul evidences great concern for the Thessalonian believers. Now, we have to remember that it was God's will that Paul had been forced out of Thessalonica at that time. It's not something that happened in spite of God. It's God allowed this to happen. He knew exactly what was going to happen before Paul ever went there. It was God's will that Paul had been forced out of Thessalonica at that time, for you see, had God chosen to do so, he could certainly have prevented it. Humanly speaking, however, because Paul had been with them for such a brief time during which they had been saved as a result of his ministry, he desired to teach them many additional things. Shortly after their salvation, however, Paul was forced out of Thessalonica, but he had not finished teaching them all the things they needed to know or that he wanted to teach them. Naturally, he was concerned about how they were doing. Were they genuinely saved, or had they just gone through the motions of it? Were they living faithfully for the Lord, or had they become discouraged as a result of the persecution they were undergoing? When Paul could no longer stand it, he chose to be left alone in Athens and sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to find out how the Thessalonian believers were doing. Timothy was a Christian brother, a servant of God, and a co-worker with Paul in the ministry of proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul was concerned that the persecution both he and the church had endured might result in great discouragement for these new converts, and that they might react by succumbing to Satan's temptation to return to their pagan practices or to no longer live faithfully for the Lord in order to avoid additional persecution. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." Wherefore is a strong inferential conjunction, and it's understood in the sense of therefore, or for this reason. When we could forbear modifies both thought and sent, indicating either time or cause. It may be understood, as it's been translated, in the sense of when we could no longer bear it, when we could no longer stand it, or when we could no longer endure it, but it may instead be understood in the sense of because we could no longer bear it, since we could no longer stand it, or inasmuch as we could no longer endure it. We is likely a literary plural meaning Paul himself, but it could include Silas, depending on Silas' whereabouts. No one knows for certain where Silas was at this time. No longer describes forbear and indicates that Paul had reached the end of his tolerance. He had taken as much as he was able to take. He had stood as much as he was able to stand, so he did something about it. I'm sure that you and I have been in a situation or two like that in our lives where we just couldn't take it any longer. We had to figure out or find out what's going on. Even though he's a long way away and couldn't do anything about it except pray, all right? You've been in situations where you really couldn't change things. We thought it good as we were well pleased. We considered it good. We consented, we determined, or we resolved, where we is likely a reference to Paul himself, but could include Silas. What Paul thought good was to be left at Athens alone. If we include Silas, then this was a joint decision made by Paul and Silas that the two of them would be left by themselves in Athens. To be left is to be left behind or to remain behind. At Athens or in Athens indicates the place where Paul thought it good to be left. Alone suggests that neither of his traveling companions would be with him if the we refers to Paul. If, however, the we includes Silas, then Paul and Silas would together be left alone in Athens. According to the next verse, Timothy is being sent to Thessalonica. Silas' whereabouts are not known. The last time Scripture records his, meaning Silas' location, is in Acts 17, 14 through 15, which indicates that Silas and Timothy remained in Berea when the brethren in Berea sent Paul away from Berea and conducted him to Athens. Although it is not as clear as one would prefer, Timothy, and perhaps Silas also, had apparently rejoined Paul in Athens, but this is not stated in the Bible. It appears that Timothy was with Paul in Athens when he was sent back to Thessalonica. However, it's possible that Paul was already alone in Athens and that he sent word to Timothy in Berea that Timothy should go back to Thessalonica from Berea rather than from Athens, and that Paul's being left alone in Athens was merely for a longer time than originally planned. Is that possible? Yes. Although this scenario seems possible, it seems more likely that Timothy had rejoined Paul in Athens and that Paul sent him to Thessalonica from Athens. And the fact is, we don't know exactly where Timothy was, or especially where Silas was. And you know what? If God had wanted us to know, he could have told us, but he didn't. And so we're left to speculate if we have any interest at all in figuring out where these guys were. As we move into verse 2, we read, "And sent Timotheus," or Timothy, "our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." And indicates a continuation of the thought of verse 1. Sent is "we sent," where "we" is likely Paul, but may include Silas as well. Timothy is the one whom he sent, and he's described as our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Our brother, where "our" refers to Paul and possibly to Silas as well as to the Thessalonian believers, indicates that Timothy is a fellow Christian. It does not mean he's a physical blood brother of Paul. It is literally the brother of us. He's not a physical brother of Paul or Silas, but he is a fellow believer and fellow member of the family of God. Minister is the same term translated deacon elsewhere and means servant or helper. Of God indicates or implies that Timothy was God's helper or God's servant for Paul. Timothy was serving God by being Paul's helper. And introduces another description of Timothy. He's our fellow laborer, meaning our fellow worker or our helper. "The," which appears before "brother" in the Greek text, is also understood as particularizing both minister and fellow laborer. So he is our brother, our minister, and our fellow laborer. The reference to "our" is to Paul. Maybe it also includes Silas. In the gospel of Christ tells where Timothy was a fellow laborer with Paul and Silas, and suggests in the proclamation of the gospel, which is about Christ. "To establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith" indicates the purpose for which Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. He was being sent to help the Thessalonican believers and to encourage them. Both times in this phrase, "you" is plural and refers to the Thessalonian believers. As verse 5 will make clear, these were not the only two reasons the Apostle Paul sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. "To establish you," when used literally, means to set you up, to fix you firmly, or to support you. However, when it's used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it's understood in the sense of to confirm you or to strengthen you. As new believers, the Thessalonians needed to be taught some additional truths which Paul had not been able to teach them in his brief stay there. And connects the first purpose with the second. "To comfort you" means to encourage you or to cheer you up. "Concerning your faith" is about your faith, about your belief, or about your trust, where faith is the particular faith, belief, or trust they have in Christ, which has brought about their salvation. How or when Timothy joined Paul in Athens is not clear. Nor is it clear where Silas was. Did Silas remain in Berea while Timothy had joined Paul in Athens? Had Silas gone back to work with the believers in Thessalonica? Did he accompany Timothy to Athens? Was he with Paul when Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica in this verse? Nobody knows the answers to these questions. It seems strange to believe that Silas was with Paul in Athens when no mention is made of it in the text. So, it's my guess. Guess means I'm speculating but don't know. It's my guess that he was either in Berea or Thessalonica. What is clear is that when, according to Acts 17, 14 through 15, the brethren in Berea sent Paul away from Berea and conducted him to Athens, Silas and Timothy remained in Berea. While in Athens, Paul sent word to Silas and Timothy to rejoin him, but Acts does not record their rejoining Paul until Acts 18:5, after Paul had left Athens and arrived in Corinth. So what happened between those two passages is just not clear. Although not recorded in Acts, Timothy had apparently come to Paul in Athens and, according to this verse, was sent by Paul to Thessalonica. That's my guess again. You know, God could have straightened all this out if he wanted to, but he chose to leave it like this, and we can think about it and think about it and think about it and can conclude finally that we have no clues to what he did. You've probably thought about a lot of things and still have no clue as to what the purpose was. According to verse 6, Timothy returns to Paul with good news about the believers in Thessalonica. Inasmuch as Paul goes to Corinth alone, and inasmuch as Timothy and Silas rejoin him in Corinth, Timothy either had to be elsewhere or to be left in Athens when Paul went to Corinth. And it seems to me that Paul left Athens for Corinth after he dispatched Timothy to Thessalonica. Not enough information is given to be able to discern where Silas was or what he was doing. After Silas and Timothy joined Paul in Corinth, Paul wrote this epistle we know as 1 Thessalonians. In verse 3, we read that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Verse 3 goes on to indicate why Paul sent Timothy back to establish the Thessalonian believers and to comfort them concerning their faith. That is understood in the sense of in order that, or so that. No man implies no one or nobody, and it's not limited to adult males. That nobody should be moved means should be disturbed or should be agitated. The Apostle Paul did not want these recent converts to have their spiritual lives upset by what had happened to him, to Silas, and to Timothy. Paul and Silas had been beaten and jailed in Philippi before coming to Thessalonica. Paul and his traveling companions had also been set upon and persecuted by the Jews in Thessalonica and had had to leave town with haste. Paul had likewise been forced to leave Berea. By these afflictions may mean by means of these afflictions or because of these afflictions. When used literally, afflictions means pressings or pressures. But when used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it means oppressions or tribulations. These describes afflictions and refers to the afflictions that the Thessalonian believers had witnessed, as well as other afflictions which occurred in other places. Paul reminds the believers in Thessalonica of something he had communicated with them while he was there. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Yourselves is you yourselves, and is placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. Yourselves is a pronoun intended to intensify you, the subject of know, which is used in the sense of you see, you perceive, or you recognize. What you yourselves are to perceive or to know or to recognize is that we are appointed thereunto, which functions as the direct object of know. We probably means Paul. We are appointed is we are destined. Thereunto is unto this and means for this purpose or unto this purpose. Thereunto is placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text and implies unto persecution or unto affliction. You see, Paul had been appointed to suffer on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he suffered greatly and on a regular basis. One is reminded of Acts 9, 15 and 16, when Ananias was told by the Lord to go to visit Paul shortly after Paul's conversion. Remember, Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, before he was saved, was on his way to Damascus in order to gather together or to arrest or to seize believing Jews and then take them back to Jerusalem as prisoners to be put into prison and perhaps executed. One of the things Ananias was told by the Lord before he went to see Paul, it's after Paul was blinded, after he had been led into Damascus, but before he could see and before he was baptized. But the Lord said unto him, meaning unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, meaning Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I, that's the Lord, will show him, meaning Paul, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul's suffering was within the will of God. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Verse 4 is used to introduce an explanation of what's been stated in verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Verily is the word ordinarily translated and, but it's been translated in this verse as an emphatic, meaning indeed, in fact, certainly, or yea. It might instead be understood in a less emphatic sense as even or as also, but the emphatic seems best. When we were with you is a temporal clause, modifying told. It indicates that Paul told these Thessalonian believers certain things while he was with them. We is Paul, and likely includes Silas and Timothy. We told you before, as we told you beforehand, or we told you in advance. Its tense indicates continuous or repeated action in past time. Hence, it should be understood in the sense of we were telling you beforehand, or we were telling you in advance. And what Paul was telling the Thessalonians in advance is that we should suffer tribulation. That we should suffer tribulation is that we are about to be oppressed, or that we are about to be afflicted. Oppression, affliction or tribulation was regarded by Paul as imminent. However, in spite of this, he stayed in Thessalonica and proclaimed the gospel. In this case, we may include the Thessalonian believers as well as Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They, as well as Paul and his traveling companions, would suffer persecution. You know, if you were living in many countries other than the United States, and you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you would be persecuted. Try it in Iran. Try it in Iraq. Try it in Israel. Even as is as, or just as, it came to pass as it came to be. It came about, or it happened. And it refers to the tribulation that Paul experienced in Thessalonica. And ye know implies that they knew exactly what Paul had said, and that they knew that it had indeed come to pass. You know, I don't mind it not happening here to us in the United States. I'm kind of happy that we don't get persecuted like this. However, it makes stalwart believers out of those who are persecuted. No is the term used in the sense of see, perceive, or recognize. Paul was not telling them something they had not already perceived. They were well aware that he had told them in advance that suffering affliction was imminent and that it had subsequently come to pass. He did not have to say, "I told you so." They knew it. And we move into verse number 5. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." For this cause introduces the reason Paul sent to know the faith of the Thessalonian believers. It is literally because of this, or for the sake of this. And the content of this is, lest by some means the tempter, that's Satan, have tempted you and our labor be in vain. "When I could no longer forbear" indicates the time that Paul sent to know the faith of these Thessalonian believers. Paul's return to the first person singular pronoun, I, indicates that the we in this context is the Apostle Paul himself and is a literary plural. So while I have continued to say it could include Silas, it probably did not. The content of this is, I looked away in my notes and I didn't get back to the same place. Forbear is where I belong. Forbear is the same term used in verse 1, meaning to bear, to stand, or endure. "When I could no longer forbear" is the translation of a participle, which has been translated as showing time. It's understood in the sense of when or while I could no longer forbear it, stand it, or endure it. It might instead be understood in the sense of because, inasmuch as or since I could no longer bear it, stand it, or endure it, thus showing cause. I is literally I also, even I or I indeed, no longer implies that Paul had taken all that he could take or that he had handled all that he could handle and that it was time to do something about it. What he did is indicated by "I sent to know your faith." In verse 2, it was learned that Paul had sent Timothy to Thessalonica. To know your faith is used to show purpose and means for the purpose of knowing your faith, or in order that I might come to know your faith. Faith, of course, is belief or trust. Paul wanted to know how they were doing in their newfound faith. He was apparently concerned that the persecution they had witnessed would unsettle their spiritual well-being. Lest introduces negative purpose. Lest is lest somehow. Lest perhaps, or that somehow. The tempter is the one who tempts or the one who entices to commit sin, and refers to Satan. Lest the tempter have tempted is simply tempted, has tempted, or has enticed to commit sin. And you, which is plural, refers to the Thessalonian believers. Have tempted has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Here's the thing. The Apostle Paul is concerned about the genuineness of their faith, because he adds, and our labor be in vain. I'm always concerned for people in my congregation that their faith is really genuine. Why? Well, I don't want to see anybody die in his sins and go to hell. Okay, very simple. So if you think I overdo it, I may. I'd rather overdo it than find out that somebody really was not yet genuinely saved, even though he made a profession. Yet his trust really wasn't in Christ. I just don't want that happening in my church or any other church. I want all believers to be genuinely saved. And if they really are, they still are. Our labor is our work or our toil, and implies the weariness that comes as the result of hard work. Our refers to Paul, may include some of his traveling companions. B suggests might have been. It's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. All of us have somewhere or other done something with good intention and find out later on that our labor was worthless, in vain, to no avail. It did not accomplish what we had hoped it would accomplish, although we did our best and wore ourselves out in the process. In vain implies empty. But when used figuratively, as it is in this verse, it means without result, without profit, without effect, or without reaching its goal. Hence, in vain means to no purpose. In vain has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and in vain be our labor. Paul seems concerned that the Thessalonian believers would be like the second of the four soil types in the parable of the sower and the soils. In the first type of soil, the seed was sown and the devil came and snatched it up before it had opportunity to take root. These people would have shown no interest in the gospel. Certainly, this was true with some at Thessalonica, as everywhere else the gospel is proclaimed. Paul's concern, however, was in the second type of soil in which the seed was sown. The seed was sown and it sprang up immediately, but because it had no depth of earth, it withered as soon as the sun came up. Paul was concerned that some of these believers in Thessalonica had made professions of faith, but that they had not yet fully comprehended the gospel and might still be unsaved. His concern might also be that they had been defeated in their Christian lives as a result of the persecution and were not living for the Lord as they should. Well, let me just be honest and tell you, I don't want to find out that some of my church people were actually unsaved and end up in the lake of fire. Nor do I want to find out that they've been defeated in their Christian lives and are not living for the Lord as they should. So do I hammer away on these things? Absolutely I do, and I'm going to continue. Why? Because I love my church people and I want them to be right in God's sight. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5, Paul experienced something you and I may also experience. He had been of spiritual help to the believers in Thessalonica. You and I have similarly been of spiritual help to others at times in our lives. As parents, we have hopefully been of spiritual help to our children. You may also have been of spiritual help to your neighbors, friends, fellow employees, and so on. As a pastor and Bible college professor, I have been a spiritual help to a number of people. For one reason or another, I'm no longer in contact with the majority of them, but unless they contact me, I am no longer in a position where I may be of spiritual help to them, except that I can pray for them. God knows who they are, where they are, and what they need. He knows the same thing about each one of us. He knows who we are, where we are, and what we need. Although you may no longer have contact with some, pray for them. It's a ministry that's available to you as a believer. Ask God to call your attention or to your attention needs that they have so that you might pray for them. He knows what's going on in their lives and is perfectly capable of calling your attention to a need about them to pray for them, even though you may not know any specifics about their need. And maybe you're one of these. And you're not 100% sure about your salvation. Make sure. I'd love to help you with that. Give me the opportunity, won't you? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have the privilege and opportunity to come to prayer meeting and study thy word and pray together. And I pray for these dear people, that each one will be absolutely certain of his own salvation and be living faithfully for thee. In Jesus' name, amen.